5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This is the chop up, trying to get chopped up, not get slapped up. You already know.
Not just chop. Go ahead, bro. You muted.
Hey, you muted the phrase of 2020.
That is the phrase of 2020. You gotta unmute yourself.
I'm still trying to corral some people from TikTok to come through. Hey. But we know that unless you've been living under a rock, on Wednesday, we know the news that happened from the state of Kentucky, and we heard the words of the itinerary journey. I'm sorry, itinerary journey, the attorney general of Kentucky, in terms of the case of Breonna Taylor. We know that there was a decision that was made. The decision, end up resulting in a police officer being charged with wanton endangerment. Wanton endangerment, for those that don't know, is around the ballpark of a hunting without a license, literally. Like, you go to the state of Kentucky, the charge that the police officer was charged with was literally around the ballpark of hunting without a hunting license. What we know is that because the bullets that rang in this crazy tragedy, we know that the neighbors of Breonna Taylor's room, or walls, I should say, got some bullets. And we know that that specifically was the charge in terms of the police officer that was taken into jail on a $15,000 bond. And that's what happened. My first question I have for us, is from a legal perspective. I know we have a lot of emotions. You feel me? I know we have a lot of feelings, and I'm not saying they don't matter. You know what I'm saying? As a matter of fact, I'm saying, in terms of this question I'm about to ask, is there a way that we can, with our emotions and feelings, understand what legally has happened with the Breonna Taylor case?
I think my understanding of what has happened, feelings aside, George Lee consciously in here, facts over feelings is what we repping on a regular basis, and I agree with that ideology. That being said, it makes complete and total sense to me that an organization or an entity that is as high stakes as the police are, have the desire, and especially as extensions of the government, have the desire to protect their employees, much like a hospital, right? A lot of your doctors, right, have insurance, for example, right? They can't go in all recklessly and do any old thing to the body or do whatever, but the body is a phenomenal organ, right? It does some interesting and intriguing things. And so they make sure that as much as that doctor is responsible and liable for the things that they do, that there are some protections that doctors have. There are some levels and lengths that hospitals will go to protect the work of doctors they feel like are doing a good job, largely because they have to protect the sanctity of the hospital or people won't come. Or it'll literally devolve everything we know about life and health in this country. And so similarly, I can absolutely fathom a world where the government does everything it can to protect employees, even under plausible and likely negligence. That's not far-fetched to me at all. Do I like it? Am I excited about it? Do I feel it? No. But if I have people who are out serving my interest and protecting things that I think are of the public good or my good as I perceive the public, and I get to perceive their good, so I'll tell them what's good for them and not. If you threaten that, then we got the right to go in and fix that shit. And I'm going to send people and agents to go in and do that and defend them as much as I can in the carrying out of that particular task. That is completely logical to me.
Mm-hmm. In the context of law, and please do not take, nobody watching this, please do not take the language that I'm going to use as me trying to undermine or downplay the significance of the life that was lost and what that means for Black people as a whole. Breonna Taylor was collateral damage. The reason why I use language like collateral damage is because there is a quote unquote war going on. Still, they called it the war on drugs. And whatever they got to do to win this war on drugs is what they do. And what happened to Breonna Taylor, she was a casualty of war, collateral damage. Same thing that the millions of people in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, collateral damage, right? They had to, regardless, we got to prove a point. We still got to do what we do. The reason why they can't be held criminally culpable is because they were carrying out the will of the state, period.
Period.
If we think about the circumstances... When you think about the circumstances, this was not, harassing a Black woman and things get rowdy and he accidentally shoots her. It's not she's running away from him and he thinks she's a threat and he shoots her.
Mm-hmm.
This is a no-knock warrant. When do they do no-knock warrants? They do no-knock warrants when they think that the suspect is either dangerous or got something to hide. You know who else received a no-knock warrant? Paul Manafort. Yeah, Donald Trump's campaign advisor. They showed up on his ass like, yep, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. Come on out of here with us, sir.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't run. You can't get rid of evidence. Her space was already deemed criminal.
Criminal, man.
It was a war zone. And in the war on crime and the war on drugs, it's a war zone. So when you come into the war zone, you strap. They were prepared. They was already ready to shoot.
Toy, what was Buddy's name? Ted, what's Ted's name, man?
What's his name on?
Eight fit boxing, man. I'm finna just read a little bit from a story that he had, you know what I'm saying? In terms of this Breonna Taylor situation. He says, in the Breonna situation, you also must analyze the sufficiency of the warrant and the way the officers carried the warrant and put it against the person's right to be free from government intrusion. They say a person's house is protected property under the Constitution, but you guessed it. And exceptions must diminish that protection. And usually, you know what I'm saying, the context before I got to this point is that Ted or 8-Fit Boxing has already laid out that we have this Constitution and we have these laws. But of course, when we had to talk about the Constitution, when we talk about the laws, there's always exceptions.
Always.
Let me read the exceptions. I'm going to read the part that you're talking about.
Read that part. Please do.
Federal or state take action on behalf of the government. This means their actions aren't personal as a rule. Exceptions exist. Right. With that, he says, e.g., if a government worker drives for the government, if they cause an accident, it's the government causing an accident and the individual is protected from civil liability unless an exception exists. Same for criminal culpability unless an exemption exists. Driving drunk while working for the government, etc. An exception that will likely make the individual criminally culpable and civilly liable. He continues by saying, so it follows that police officers act on the behalf of the government. This means the individual is not personally liable in a civil way without an exception existing. Essentially, the government creates laws that apply to people and decides how laws are applied to people. The same government that makes the laws decides which laws can be applied to the government. Essentially, you can't sue the king, right? They set it up like that.
And then to go a step further, you can't sue the king without the permission of the king.
You can't, unless the king gives or the government gives you permission, there
permission
is no
to do it. And that's where we get to the question of collateral damage. They were carrying out the will of the state. This also brings in that curious question of criminality when it comes to black people, right? Because those rights are protected by the government unless what? You commit a crime. If you have a drug den, your drug den is not free from government intrusion. If you have if they think you're operating a brothel, that brothel is not free from government intrusion.
I think the conversation is more about how there's how black people has this codified criminality in the law. When we think about the death of Breonna Taylor, I agree, she was collateral damage. But the idea that her personhood was not seen as being innocent until proven guilty, or being able to receive due process or a right to counsel, or being able to see a judge and a jury, I think that, to me, I feel like it's something to be brought into, something to be thought about, how when black people are alleged to be criminal, how the idea of the word alleged kind of goes away and then the law just kind of treats you as such. You feel me? Because in my mind, it's thinking about how when I'm in history tool right now, we know all across the country, little kids are being taught about the great American Revolution and being taught about us, America being beautiful, specifically of the values of standing against, you know, the state tyranny. You feel me? And because America is unique in being able to stand against state tyranny, we have the Second Amendment right. The Second Amendment right is not to fight intruders.
That's the entire Constitution. To be honest, anytime we talk about constitutional amendments, those protections are all set up
all against
the government. So when somebody tell you that, well, it's my First Amendment right, the government got to respect that, not me.
Yeah,
I don't got to listen to your ass. The government can't intrude on
me. I think that it starts to get about how black people are codified within the law. We know that staying your law ground. We know that in terms of being able to defend your home, being able to, you know what I'm saying? We know all those things are supposed to apply. Equal protection under law, unalienable rights, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness to be able to protect you and your property. What I think that this conversation is getting into in terms of Breonna Taylor, we got to think about also the Botham Jean and the Atiana Jefferson, or even, you know what I'm saying, the 1960s, the Fred Hampton. And I hate to even bring that up now because I feel like, you know what I'm saying, I'm getting myself in trouble with the CIA. I'm sorry, y'all. I don't want no beef from this educated CIA. Whoever got my file, listen to this video. Listen, I don't want no smoke at all.
We trying to make our podcast. You feel me?
Punk-ass educator on the punk-ass podcast, man. Yeah. I don't want no smoke at all.
Yeah.
But we know in terms of the law, it seems like when black people get to exert the law and use the law to be able to defend ourselves, there is something, there's a type of criminality that's codified on our bodies already. And we see that Breonna Taylor.
Yeah.
And this is what, in the comments, a lot of people was like, nah, y'all are basically trying to find a justification for what happened. It's not.
No, right?
If anything, what we are trying to find or to provide is an explanation for why all of these body cam footage and this is what really happened and somebody was in custody. All of those things don't matter if through the system that you were in, you already have certified immunity. All of those things get usurped. And then a case is able to be gathered that internally is created because the king ain't going to sue himself.
And I just add to that too.
Hold on, Joey.
To get off.
Hold on, George, because the phrase that we haven't used, and I'm so glad you said it, because the phrase that's supposed to be used specifically is qualified immunity.
Yeah, my bad.
Qualified immunity. Which means that as long as you're carrying out the will of the state, you are immune to criminal repercussions. Period.
And what we see is that when Clive and people like Clive and Bundy now, you know what I'm saying? Or white people decide to kind of take up some arms and get to state. They kind of have this idea of being able to preserve their life and their personhood. The general welfare of the governed. You know what I'm saying? I'm using some constitution, old school jargon.
Yeah.
The personhood of the governed, the consent of the governed is being held in terms of the government holding up their personhood. And we see that when black people are, you know what I'm saying, approached by the law, they don't have that same thing. So it's all going to add to people in the comment section. People, listen to this. When me, Toya, and Damo are talking about the justification of the law, I want you to think about W.E.B. Du Bois' double consciousness. When we say that we can see it from a particular perspective, we're not saying we see that from our perspective. Listen, yes. I'm an educator. I got multiple degrees. I'm a husband. I'm a father.
Nobody cares.
I go through the degrees.
He always talk about the degrees. Degrees. I got three of them.
I got three of them, though. But people don't see that as that. So when I say I see how somebody could see me as a thug or a criminal, that's not saying I'm justifying somebody seeing me as a thug or a criminal. That's me having a double conscience and recognizing the reality I live in.
They
look like me or it's usually seen as thugs and criminals. That's literally what they're saying. It's a double conscience with the law. That's what we're saying. We have a double conscience with the law, and we understand how the law says it's supposed to operate. How the law says it's supposed to operate is that the way we interpret the law is not the way it's interpreted towards itself. Mm-hmm. We're thinking about how us.
A little bit more context from AFib Boxing before we go to some of these comments because they're jerking. Ted says, officers' actions can invoke criminal culpability, but the rule is their actions are not criminal, but in the furtherance of the government's work or qualified immunity. Qualified immunity is what low-level government workers, government workers get for their actions, i.e. cops. Police interactions with the general public are endorsed by the government through the Fourth Amendment. Warrants, searches, seizures, car stops, use of force are endorsed by the government. As we have seen, the death of a civilian by an officer does not automatically make the officer criminally culpable. Do not attempt to interpret me as saying that the officers aren't criminally culpable. Because we know that they are, but the foregoing story are a small snapshot of the analysis it determines to decide if somebody's a criminal. So in the Breonna situation, as George was getting to, you must also analyze the sufficiency of the warrant, the way the officers carried out the warrant, and put it against a person's right to be free from government intrusion. A person's house is protected property under the Constitution, but exceptions can diminish that protection.
And criminality.
That Constitution.
Criminality.
Protected, codified criminality. Void. Mm-hmm. A lot of the perceptions of protection that we thought she would have had. And so it's locked into the law, and the law is written as it is. That's why I'm excited to hear people like, I think
the comments is jumping off.
I said something similar to this. We also had
Nepal was talking specifically about, because I do want to point to a comment when she brought up no knock warrants.
Well,
and that is
Torin Boston. Shout out to y'all. It's just a lot of beautiful things in here in terms of suggestions on corrective actions that start to recodify the laws, because that is the level by which we're going to have to take the king up on the rules of tenantship to live in his court, if you will. Right. So a lot of those things are the no knock warrants and having those being federally legislated and being codified in ways that work in our advantage is the only real way to take the criminality and the codification of Black bodies, of Black people, of drug use out of the written law itself and create a world where those things don't necessarily replicate themselves.
I do want to say this, though, in terms of like the no knock warrants. So they in Louisville, they have banned them. And a part of what the brother was talking about in the post that we utilized and to kind of break this down.
I got that part up here right now, too. You know what I'm saying? I got that part up.
Go ahead, George.
So we know that the Constitution separates the person's house. A person's house is property protected under the Constitution. But you guessed this, exceptions. So when it comes to this, not there's no knock warrant. We know that the no knock warrants were authorized by the government years ago. We know that when it comes to no knock warrants, generally no knock warrants are worked in, passed by the government, and police is run by imperfect humans. I'm going to repeat that. Generally, no knock warrants worked in the past, but the government, police, is ran by imperfect people. We know that Breonna's situation is how we create the ban for the no knock warrants. He goes on to say, this is Ted, he says that here's where it gets messy. Protections provided by the government versus the government's rights to enforce their laws is where we kind of start getting into, I think, the paradox of America. What we know about the founding fathers and the colonists was that they felt like the redcoats and King George was doing too much. They was forcing them to quarter soldiers. It was forcing them to do, you know what I'm saying? It was getting taxed without representation. They was being tarred and feathered. You feel me? Literally, when it came to how do the colonists, the people of the colony, hold King George and the redcoats accountable, they felt like there was no process to do such. So they created what they told me in school, this beautiful thing called the Constitution. Which brings me back to Ted's words. The Constitution and amendments that apply to the states through the Civil War amendments are protections to which the government must adhere, but we are back to those exceptions. Say, there are so many levels of analyzing the Constitution and laws created by our politicians. Life, liberty, and property are protected by the Constitution on emphasis of life. I'm gonna repeat that part. Life, liberty, and property are protected by the Constitution on emphasis of life. He says that, remember my story about fundamental rights? Yep, you guessed it. Every time a citizen had a fundamental right to life, this means the governments must have a compelling interest to take it away. That's what government, and that's where Damo was talking about this idea of collateral damage. So I want to make sure y'all not trying to play my brother on some sucker shit. He not trying to say that he's justifying her life as being some collateral damage, because we know that Black women in America has always been seen as collateral damage. Do whatever America want to do. I'm gonna repeat that. We know that American. In terms of America, Black women have always been seen as collateral damage for America to progress. Fact. So what Ted says, you feel me, is that this means the government must have a compelling interest to take away that right to protect your life.
And what that speaks to is that everything can be negotiated. All so of it. The loss of life is
situation. Yeah. Her life was taken by the government without due process. We can do a whole long lecture. What do you say? We can do a whole long lecture giving the process. You know what I'm saying? About due process, but you know what I'm saying? We ain't got enough time for that. But this is what we get into. It begs the question, is due process having a warrant served and arrest detained, use the force? No case law defines due process of any of the above. It is the part of the process, but not complete. What is missing? An opportunity to be heard. And then the question I'm gonna leave it with us. You know what I'm saying? And then shout out to Ted again. You feel me? How do we get criminal culpability? How do we get criminal culpability of the state when it acts upon the people?
I think I'll say this, and I'll let you get it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of gets into that pessimism. I don't want to be too depressing. You feel me, for niggas? But y'all know when we kind of get into that Wildersonian thinking.
It is what it is. Right. I know Wilson on the list.
Right. It's like, I mean, I want to say, I mean, because like what I do, like I study politics because I do think there are ways that we can mitigate, right, these circumstances, but it's always after the fact. Like, we can save people afterwards, but it's always one of us is always gonna have to be a sacrifice, right? That's the ugly reality of it. You know what I'm saying? But
tired of being a sacrifice. I hear you, Black women. I hear y'all.
Nah, straight up. I'm gonna scroll up so we can get into some of these comments.
Hey, I want to shout out Pooh Bear. I see you shouting out Purvis Payne. We're going to talk about him at the end of the show. I'm going to make sure I do a decent shout out so that we can get on action on that. So I see you shouting out.
We can start closing it up in this next 6 minutes, too. We've been on for a long time. My wife woke up. I just spent some time with my old lady.
Facts. Now, King A Official said it's not about if it's legal or not. Honestly, just because they say everything was legal don't make it right. Let's remember slavery was legal. Did it make it right? That's why we protest for her. Straight up.
Agreed.
That's without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
Melodious Rambling said the scariest part of all this is the qualified immunity. How many times can this happen now? If shit, the amount of times that this happened so far already, it kind of speaks to
when the system is working how it was supposed to. You know what I'm saying? How many more times is this? It's a conveyor belt. You know what I'm saying?
How many times does it want to happen?
Nah, that's facts. Yeah. That's facts. What else we got here? Fresh Eat said, y'all are showing the ways that the government has set things up in such a way that they are untouchable. The system was set up that way purposely. That's why we fight for abolishment. That's facts. I mean, this is where the abolishing the police movement come in.
Hey, CIA, punk ass T talking again. Punk ass T talking again. Listen,
hey, I ain't got nothing to do with that.
It's elevation. I'm just teaching, man.
So we talked about Chelsea Manning, and I got that random call from 000000. As soon as I said it, I'm committed to watching.
I was looking at the viewership. As soon as George was like, listen, I ain't doing nothing, CIA, shit dropped off like considerably. So it was a few of them in here. Simone Brown said, it's flawed, and we need to vote to change things. For the better, we need to put people in office who have our best interest at heart. Now, while I agree with that statement, I do want to reiterate that is mitigating. To be clear, that is mitigating. That don't solve. Voting does not solve, but it does help.
Hey, it's mitigating. And too, for the people that don't understand what you're saying about mitigating. If I'm whooping your ass, you want me to stop whooping your ass. If I say I'm going to mitigate whooping your ass, you recognize this means I'm going to stop whooping your ass a little less. But it does not stop me from whooping your ass. I think that's a clear way that I think that people should understand what I feel like a lot of oppressed people is asking for. It's like, we don't want to be mitigated. We want you to stop.
Yeah, right. But what we can do is we can push back.
We got to push back and mitigate as long as we can. As long as we alive, we can mitigate.
Napa said, I bet during the late 80s to 90s for the war on drugs is when the no knock was implemented in the U.S. And you would be right. It was a part of that drug enforcement. Back. Again, the reason why they do the no-knock warrants is because they knew that if the criminals, the suspects, knew that they were coming, they would get rid of the evidence. They would leave.
Get ready to shoot them, which is why they showed up, you know what I'm saying, to Kenneth Walker and Breonna Taylor's home, strapped up, ready for the, you know what I'm saying, for a war, because they go in thinking, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if this is, you know what I'm saying, Pablo Escobar, or if this is some petty, you know what I'm saying, drug dealer. So we're going to go in, guns.
We're going to treat them all like Pablo Escobar.
We're going to treat them all. We can't take no chances.
Right, this nigga clearly living the projects. You know what I'm saying? We're going to kick in his mama house.
He might be Nino Brown. Right.
Brittany said, and we have always been taught not to question police in school. So when these questionable laws are put into place, it's no surprise there are different understandings as to how they work, without a doubt. And it's also about experience. Like, a part of how you understand the police stems from like the type of community you grow up in. Because the one thing I want to get clear, white people didn't start loving the police like that until black people started really hating them, because white people don't like the police either.
The Republican Party is literally supposed to be about bad big government, come and take it, all about our civil liberties, all about somebody trying to encroach on me. But listen, Republicans is all against the police, except when it comes to some black folks. That's what we see. We see that time and time will show us that America, white people, especially specifically white Republicans, white moderates, not all of them, but you know what I'm saying, a nice trend of them, you feel me? They always worried about policing. But they about law and order when it comes to the criminals. And they talking to FG. I shut up.
Two things. One thing, I'm looking at the comments move in relation to what y'all saying. Chagra says we were taught in the academy that where there are drugs, you're also to conclude that there are guns. And that's a very common perception and kind of conception of how it is that those two things play together, which is why that there is the relationship and approach to it that it is. Torin, I don't disagree with you. And I kind of do, but I don't. I'll never dissuade black people from running for positions, for doing what they feel like is right for their community and their time. But I do not believe that the solution is the more Black people running for office so we can change these laws. Daniel Cameron is literally the reason why Breonna Taylor and charges against
us. Skin folk, ain't you kin folk?
And so I think you can love Jordans and not necessarily go run for political office because that's not your lane. I think you can find political interest and align yourself with what needs to happen for your people. But
yeah, we see Trump got coming in too. Just because you're a woman, I mean, you care about women's rights.
Period. Right. And I think that Amy Cohen Barrett proves that. Right. And so I think the biggest trouble we get in is presuming that we stick people in these positions and they automatically become the appropriate representatives for that. And I think more often than not, we find out that it's about the right people, not just a whole bunch of people filling up space. One of the things that when we talk about the solutions that I was looking to and that Ted said, and this is, I think, a mitigating orientation toward this particular issue, but it's one that's necessary. Ted says we need more transparency. More transparent means more special prosecutors in every case involving action taken by the government. A prosecutor selected by the people that is voted in. Private investigators as well. Private medical examiners from both perspectives, BLM or Back the Blue, whichever one you want to come from. You need to have a whole, you need to have a jury of medical examiners, a jury of prosecutors. They should do it like debate. When we debate it, when the deeper you get, the deeper the tournament was, the more serious it was. We got a panel of judges. So it wasn't just one person saying whether you won or lost. It was three people, most likely from some different perspectives.
Different around 7, 5.
Period. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The people who can have some type of majority vote on how information should be perceived. He continues by saying it should not
be. Fresh Eats, Toya go by she. Shout out to you, though, asking about the pronouns.
Hey, it's a she. I'm shout out to y'all for showing love, for sure. Ted says, and I'll finish it like this, it should not be the same person every time. After you serve once, you'll be disqualified from serving for a period of time. So you don't even get to take on all the Black Lives Matter cases or all the police brutality cases.
Toya giving you the solution right now, I think. I believe right now this will be a beautiful solution with Toya outlining right now from Ted. Shout out to Ted, which is a great fit, great eight boxings.
8 Fit Boxing BXG79. So 8 Fit Boxing. Just to help me.
Fit Boxing, man. Lawyer.
I give you guys some context about Ted. He's he is an attorney in Kansas City, I believe. He is a defense attorney, but I could be wrong. He does some type of criminal law in Kansas City, though. He's also a bodybuilder. So if you get on 8 Fit Boxing 79 and you see some pop, 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 just know he's swole.
He's swole, but he knows something, too.
In the daytime, he'd be in the courtroom, which is why I took a lot of his framing in this particular issue and wanted to extract it and agree with it so much.
Basically, I feel like all three of us, we basically framed it all around his shit. Shout out to you, Ted. Shout out to Kansas City, man.
Yeah. Right, but Torin, I understand. Like, we have these conversations often. I mean, feel free to go back and look through some of some of our older episodes of the Chop Up, because I mean, that's something in terms of, like, I don't think nobody here would disagree that we need Black people in those spaces. I think ultimately, now that Black people are in those spaces and we see that they don't move right, we need more than just the skin tone. We need the mentality. We need the people from them
communities. Ideology and perspective, a particular ideology of preserving Black life and being able to hold people accountable when they exterminate Black life. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, as a matter of fact, we're getting ready to close it out, man. In terms of solutions, we know that it's easy for us to talk about problems, and we know that people that want to shut us up when we talk about problems and acknowledge them in our new, in our unique, complex, poetic ways, they want to shut us up and kind of tone police us and say, what about a solution? What is the solution? I think that Ted Toya was able to kind of read us off some solutions in terms of the due process of law and how we can make it where it's not so one-sided, to make it where the government is only holding the government responsible and accountable, and the government gets to decide when the government is right and wrong, trying to make it where we have some type of transparency and some type of process, especially right now, for us to hold in line. We know something that was really important that dude had brought up was that when this idea about not tainting the jury was brought up back way back when, they was not thinking about multimedia, social media, how we is now, where every jury is going to be tainted by what's going on social media, on timelines, on Fox News, on MSNBC, on CNN, on BBC, wherever you get your news from. We know that anything hit the line, it's going to hit the jury. So with that being said, I want y'all to think about solutions, but don't do it from a perspective of research. I want you to do it from a perspective of research. And I hate to be corny like that, but I want you to really think about
solutions. Jewish has all the best corny phrases.
I'm sorry, it is what it is, man.
Hey research over me search, goddammit. Hey, embrace it.
It's available right now. I'll shout out to everybody that's tuned in. Shout out to everybody too that's already got some merch, man. Shout out to y'all, because you know what I'm saying? But that's the only thing I was just saying. Just want to make sure when we talk about solutions, you feel me? I want you to come with your own solutions. You know what I'm saying? Instead of us trying to think about going to one person for the solution, that's how people get killed. know what I'm saying? When the CIA see that everybody going to one person for solutions, they'll knock that person out. So let's not get nobody knocked out, first of all. Second of all, too, let's try to be, you know what I'm saying, the adjudicator of how to, you know what I'm saying, free ourselves. And not always looking for somebody to free us. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And the best way we're going to be able to do that is prioritize the research over me search. Your Honor, I rest my case. Thank you for this TED Talk. George Lee, a.k.a. Conscious Lee. Don't forget the Lee. GeorgeLeeSpeaks.com.
Hey, man. Hey, that's what it was. Toya, anything you want to add? Go ahead, close out.
I'm going to close it out real quick by saying a couple things. Shout out to y'all for saying y'all sub and saying y'all tuned in. If y'all came from Instagram and TikTok all the way over here to Facebook or to YouTube, shout out to y'all. That means y'all are part of the Chop Nation. So when we holler at y'all, make sure y'all tap in, hit subscribe, hit the bell, hit the button. Typically, we like to go live on Monday nights, but these last couple weeks been a little bit weird. So it might be another week.
Basketball.
Go live again, basketball and football. But
I get y'all benefit of the doubt. I've been trying to grade papers and stuff. Shout out to my, you know, I've been trying to do some things, man.
And I got plenty of grading as well. So we're not making excuses, but we're saying stay locked in because typically toward the beginning of the week, we like to go live. We won't go live next tomorrow, but the next Monday, we right back on routine. And we hollering at y'all. So
and shout out to my TikTok. Hey, shout out to my edutainment family, man. Shout out to the edutainment. To my edutainment family, man. That's what I'm going to call y'all. Right. My edutainment family.
What I want to do and what I think I'm going to start doing is giving the Chop Nation some homework. And what I want to, this homework is inspired by the homie.
Call to action. This is a call to action. What we call it, baby.
Pooh Bear Reacts. Y'all homework is to go research Purvis Payne, P-E-R-V-I-S, Payne, Purvis Payne. Purvis Payne is from the state of Tennessee, and he's close to execution. He's been in jail for 32 years for a crime that what it sounded like is that it's impossible that he couldn't have committed. Real quick, give y'all the scoop. He came in, and he has an intellectual disability, which, of course, affects your judgment. It affects a lot of things that go into situations, especially if the situation is traumatic. But he's basically came into a situation where he's found his neighbors have been a victim of some serious heinous crimes. I don't remember how many people it was. I've been reading kind of quickly, but he goes in and tries to resuscitate, tries to help them out, whatever, recognize he's all bloodied and everything like that. And so when he recognizes that, that'll probably implicate him as the person who perpetuated that crime. Of course, the police go looking and searching for who did it, and they accused the neighbor, which was Purvis Payne. From there, he got put in jail, and I'm looking at an article that gives 8 different reasons, and this is from the Innocence Project. So I want y'all to look at Purvis Payne on the innocenceproject.org, and it gives 8 different reasons why he couldn't have committed this crime. When y'all read that, I want y'all to sign a petition. I'm going to do that as soon as the show is over, and make sure your voice is heard so this black man, another black person, does not succumb to the capabilities in the long arm of the law, particularly if he's innocent. Purvis Payne, that's y'all's homework. The Innocence Project has all the information that you need. Go check that out, and shout out to Pooh Bear for giving us information that we need to know. We out here.
What's up? The old episodes. Check if y'all not following us on Spotify, go ahead hit that. If you got an iPhone, follow us on iTunes podcast. We be up there. So in case you missed the live or any episodes you want to go back and check, all you got to do is go back on Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, we there. Just go back, check out the past episodes. This episode will be broken up and placed on Spotify within. I will have it up tomorrow since we're supposed to be live tomorrow anyway.
You need a lot of stuff for me tomorrow. We need you to have this mug up tomorrow. Then we need you to have this shit about Breonna Taylor, because you know if we wait too long, it ain't gonna be relevant no more. We gotta get this Platinum Plus plan shit in.
We do need to get on Tidal. We not on Tidal. We do need to get on Tidal. We'll be on Tidal soon.
Get on Tidal.
But we on Spotify, iTunes, everywhere else. Check out all the episodes on Facebook and YouTube. You know, we'll be going live. We'll be doing our thing. And shout out to everybody tuned in.
Solovision Debate League. Family, man.
Yeah, because it was a collection. You feel me? You got Solovision Debate League from YouTube. All my homies just showed up from there. My YouTube family. You know what I'm saying? George TikTok family. Toya real family.
Hey man, my sister was in here like we had it. We're good. Y'all too?
Yeah, so this was live. So shout out to the pod, everybody else. We out this thing though.
We out.
Gonna have it. This is the Chop Up. Out.